And the reason why I wanted to do our responsive reading here is that you read part of the scripture that I would added to the message. And if I go and read all that now, that's just too much, all right? So you already have the background, okay, in all these things of out of Exodus and also Leviticus and also Acts chapter 2. So I'll be referring to that as I share today in all these things, okay? And so with all these things, God has a captive audience. And the people decide there, both the Jewish people and the mixed crowd, that they want to have a mediator between them and Adonai, okay? And the Lord agreed to that. But you see, as the commandments were being spoken out to them, because they heard these commandments, they asked and they interrupted as Adonai was speaking. And think about that. The creator of the universe, they interrupted when he was giving the Ten Commandments, speaking them out first. Because he asked them prior, through Moses, if you will join and accept and do the things, my mitzvot, my teachings, do you agree to enter into covenant with me? You know what the people reported back to Moses? They said, yes, we agree. And that was prior to the Ten Commandments even being given. A lot of times we don't think about that. Because you see, they had time there to see the demonstration of who this God was. All right? And they got demonstration of who the prophet, and then later to become the high priest of this God, they were being introduced to all these individuals and all these things. And so they interrupted and they said, lest we die. Because they were terrified. As Alan so eloquently shared, that Moshe, when was the time that he first came to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as his presence being manifested? But it was in the wilderness. It was as that bush that was on fire but was not being consumed. And he heard the voice of Adonai. And I won't go into all those details because we have very, very little time here. Now we fast forward, and then here are the common people, those both great and small, they're assembled around Mount Sinai, and they spent 2 days preparing themselves, washing themselves, preparing themselves. And the Lord gave firm instruction in all these things. And now here was the opportunity to them to enter into covenant with them. But they desired a mediator in all these things. So today I'll be speaking on two mountains. There's Mount Sinai, but there's another mountain where two significant celebrations of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, took place, as recorded in both the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Bible. All these things happen on that particular day. Okay? So here are some thoughts here. The mountaintop locations of the two most defining Shavuot moments in Scripture are Sinai and Zion. The parallels between them are amazing. Not only do the events share the same date on the biblical calendar, but they are both preceded by equally powerful day of preparation in anticipation of the historical encounter between Adonai and his people. Think about the first encounter that you had with Adonai as the Spirit of living God descended upon your life and it began to reveal to you your true state, my true state, going forward. Much has been said by the way of comparison between what happened in Shemot, Exodus 19, chapters 19 through 24, when Moses met with Adonai on behalf of the people on Mount Sinai, and the 120 Talmudim, the disciples, in the upper room on Mount Zion in Acts chapter 2. There are many similarities related to being gathered in unity. We see that the manifestations of the presence of the Lord in glory, and the power which brings fresh revelation of who he is. See, Adonai did not want Moshe to say, well, this is what Adonai is like. It was as close as they could possibly come to a face-to-face encounter with Adonai. And as Alan shared earlier, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of Adonai, that was not the veil completely removed from his eyes, but just a portion, he became mentally undone. Because when we, as God's people, who are going through the transformation of sanctification, moment by moment, step by step, as we're in the presence of the living, holy God, he reveals to us our character. And we see God's character. And what Alan shared earlier, please focus on the character of Adonai. And there are times when you and I have to renew our relationship with the Lord so that we will be able to perceive him for who he is. How often do we start to conceive an idea that makes him down to our level? And how we should see him for who he is. Because that's when the fear of Adonai is truly there. Not that we would be squeamish and running from his presence, but that we would simply respect him for who he is. Because he desires to transform our character into the actual character of his son. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I believe in my own life, I'm being very transparent here. It's going to take most of eternity for the Ruach, the Spirit of Living God, to transform me closer to the character of Messiah. And I'm sharing that, being very, very transparent with you. It's beautiful that there's God's grace and mercy through our transformation process. Otherwise, his holy fire would simply consume us. Let's move forward here. We all need a fresh revelation of who he is. All of this enabling us to boldly go forth declaring his name to the nations. That's why Adonai decided to allow this mixed group from all the nations. These Egyptians who are walking in deception, that were able to be grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. And that has been God's plan from the very beginning. So now let us look closer to the festival of Shavuot weeks. Shavuot is one of the three relagim, that is the principal feast, where every Jewish male goes up to Jerusalem. The other two are Passover, which we've just celebrated. And the last one is Sukkot, which we'll be celebrating in the fall. The name Shavuot comes from Exodus, Shemot in Hebrew, 34:22, and Davarim, Deuteronomy 16:9-10, which along with Vayikra, which is Leviticus 23:15-16, determine that the festival is to be 7 weeks after the start of Pesach. And how do we know when Pesach ends? Because there's another feast of the Lord that's called Yom Burkrim, the first fruits of the barley harvest. And if you read in Leviticus chapter 23, it has all the feasts of Adonai. And they're listed as the feast of Adonai, so people will not get mixed up and say, well, this is simply the feast of the Jewish people or the Jewish nation. No, this is a feast of Adonai, and everyone who has been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, these are the feasts, and these are your feasts, for you to fully understand and appreciate your relationship with Adonai and the whole entire messianic community, which is a blending of all the 70 nations and the nation of Israel. There's more challah up here. Come up and partake and enjoy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So on Shavuot, the first fruits of the wheat harvest were then presented to Adonai in the temple. The offering consisted of two loaves of bread baked with leavened flour. Isn't that very, very unique?
Yeah.
On Pesach, it's unleavened, but here it's leavened. All right? Let's move forward. That's how the Lord's ordained it. Thus was celebrated God's providence at the start of the wheat harvest season. Besides its primary agricultural significance, I have tough with some words. Shavuot later came to be understood as commemorating the giving of the Torah to Moshe. The earliest references to this and the reinterpretation of the date from the 2nd and 3rd centuries Common Era are found and recorded in Talmud Shabbat 86b. And moving forward. So Shemot Exodus 19:1 says that the Israelites came to the foot of the Mount of Sinai in the third month. Okay? From this, the other biblical data, the rabbis deduce that God actually gave the Torah on Shavuot, that very day. Thus, each pilgrim feast was associated with a major religious theme. Pesach, celebrating the Exodus from Egypt, has a creation theme, the creation of the Jewish people. The theme of Shavuot is a revelation. The theme of Sukkot, associated with 40 years of wandering, culminated by the entering into the promised land, is redemption. They were to enter into the land that was promised to their forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These three themes, creation, revelation, and redemption, reappear in other aspects of Jewish life. For example, there are three meals during the Shabbat. So, going forward, because Shavuot recalls God's revelation of himself, his power, and his Torah to the Jewish people, the synagogue readings for this holiday include Exodus chapters 19 and 20, and I encourage everyone to do that. Also, the entire book of Ruth, which is only four chapters. I encourage you to spend time this weekend reading those scriptures. And I believe this, the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, will give you even more revelation. Going forward, Exodus 19:20, Moses' ascent on Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments. And the two passages celebrating other theophanies, that is the appearances of God, him being Yeshua. And the other two are Ezekiel 1 and 2. Habakkuk 3. And going forward here, Ruth is very appropriate because it is a story about the harvest. But in addition, since it tells about the joining of a Moabite woman, Ruth, to God's people, it gives a remez, a hint, about the future aspect of God's work on the earth, of joining both Jews and Gentiles so they can be one in Messiah. Because it's amazing, once you study the ancestry of Yeshua, God sovereignly introduced the Gentiles, people from the nations. That's part of Yeshua's heritage. Isn't that beauty there? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's not a New Testament concept. Finally, Shavuot is a traditional date on which King David dies. A point to be remembered when reading Acts chapters 2, 25 through 32. It is in this framework now of Jewish thought and custom in which Shavuot is celebrated as a festival of harvest and Torah that the events now of Acts chapter 2, which I taught through in detail not long ago, and we're not going to spend going in all that depth, must be understood, because it was God's intention to bring the Jewish new covenant, which is listed where? In Jeremiah 31, 30 through 33, to the Jewish people in a Jewish way. Because he was now sending them out on a commission. The 120 were all Jewish people. Why? Because the scripture says that the Jewish people are to be a light to the nations, so the nations could be grafted in. Going forward now, he, being God, made a maximal use of the Jewish festivals to convey new truths in ways that emphasize their connection with old truths. So you cannot have the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, without the Tanakh. It doesn't make sense. Moving forward. Thus God promised through Jeremiah, I will write the Torah on their hearts. This he does as he gives his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, as witness in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The same God gives both the Torah and the Spirit, which thus are in sense one. God's word, which is living, is Torah. For us to be empowered to fulfill Torah in Yeshua, we have to have the Ruach. Let's move forward. The same God gives both Torah and Spirit on the same holiday. Shavuot to the same people, the Jewish people, stretching through history from the fire on Mount Sinai to the tongues of fire at Jerusalem. Acts 2, 2 through 3. Yeshua himself is called the first fruits in 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and Romans 8, 29. And he speaks of a harvest of people with prepared hearts at Matthew 9, 37 through 38 and John 4, 35. Later in the present chapter of Acts 2, 41, 3,000 persons are added to the Jewish Messianic community. That's the first fruits. Now, the believers now have the Ruach HaKodesh and is said to be only the first fruits in comparison of what is yet to come in the future. God desires to pour out his Spirit upon all the nations of the earth. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, slave or free. You were created in the image and likeness of God, and he desires for his Spirit to live and reign in you. You are all precious in his sight. Yeshua first spoke of himself as what? The bread of life in John 6:35. Since leavened bread, hametz, symbolizes sin in the Tanakh, Yeshua represented himself as a sinless by using unleavened bread, matzah, to inaugurate what? The Brit Hadashah, found in Luke 2, 20. The Shavuot bread offering is made with leaven, symbolizes God's people as having sinned before Yeshua's atoning death. Later, Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes to the Messianic community in Corinth that it is, in reality, you are now unleavened. The work of the Spirit is removing sin out of our lives. Going forward, for our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. The two loaves of the offering can now be understood as representing God's expanded people comprised of what? Both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. Galatians 3, 28. Now the book of Ruth points up a lesson not to be ignored. Ruth the Moabitess was added to the Jewish people with her noble confession, which we shared today. We spoke it out. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. This woman who became an ancestor of Yeshua, recorded in Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse 5, expressed her loyalty to the Jewish people even before she spoke of God. Did you hear that? She was fully committed to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And there was nothing there set up for Naomi, who was becoming older and older. She had no sons. So here was a daughter-in-law willing to go to a foreign land who she knew as a Moabitess, she would not be seen as an equal because there was prejudice, there's sin, and she was willing to sacrifice her life to provide for her mother-in-law, even before she expressed any desire to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But think of the years prior to her coming and losing her husband, how her husband demonstrated knowing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And her mother continued. So going forward here, she gave her loyalty to the Jewish people even before she spoke of God. But over the centuries, many people who call themselves Christians, and I underline that, call themselves Christians, okay? Maybe they were baptized in water. You're now a Christian. But they did not have a transforming, life-changing, not one moment, not one day, not one week, one month, not one year, but an ongoing transformation of their character, okay? Calling themselves Christians have done the opposite, hating Jews and accusing them of deicide, and ignoring the New Testament warning not to boast against the Jewish root, found in Romans 11, 16 through 26. The book of Acts shows that Gentiles may now become part of God's people without becoming Jews themselves. Do you hear that? You don't have to convert to Judaism going forward. But no Gentile can become a Christian if he cannot say to the Jews, your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. See, there's a balance. That's why Yeshua said, the least that you've done to these, my brothers, and I'll expand upon that, my brothers and my sisters, you've done unto me. Which one? Romans 11, 16 through 26. Romans 11, 16 through 26. Through 26, yep. It is also no accident that God chose a holiday connected with the Torah to send the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to empower the life of each of his Talmid, the disciples. And I would say this to you. You should reread the Tanakh, and every time it says that the Spirit of Adonai came on somebody, a prophet or a common, ordinary person, that person is being filled, equipped, and empowered to do the will of Adonai. Amen. And if you study that in the Tanakh, you'll notice that the Spirit of the living God was not just simply poured out in Acts chapter 2. What about the elders that Moses chose, and it said they began to prophesy? How about Saul? They were amazed. He was prophesying with the prophets. So the Spirit of the living God came upon people at different times to accomplish his will. Now moving very, very quickly. So I'm running out over the appointed time. The Holy Spirit to empower the life of each of his disciples, to empower the entire Messianic community. That's God's desire today, is for us to stop participating in our interpretive religion, you fill in the blank. Messianic Judaism can become a religion if the Spirit of the living God is not being able to manifest himself with each individual and corporate Messianic member of the Messianic community. Rabbi, you should not have said that. I need to say it. I need to be filled with the Spirit of the living God daily. Otherwise, what I produce is myself. And when I produce myself and walk on my own power, intellect, and my own giftings, my own abilities, I'm not walking and pleasing the Father and walking in unity with the body, my brothers and sisters in Messiah. And I'm wasting your time and mine. Let's move forward. Going on now, here are some parallels, and I'll end on this very, very quickly. Here are the parallels between Sinai and Pentecost, and they continue. At both the Torah When the Torah was delivered to God's people at Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. Shemot, Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, Shavuot, Torah was written on the tablets of those people's hearts. Going forward, in fulfillment with the prophecies of Jeremiah 31:32 and Ezekiel 36:26, far from replacing or canceling or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Spirit confirms it in the Messianic believers. That's recorded in Romans 3:31. So both took place on Shavuot. Going forward, number three. Both were accompanied by theophanies, that is the manifestation presence of Adonai. Undeniable. Going forward, both were accompanied by many languages and voices and tongues. Acts 2:4. And think about this. There were people who were a mixed group. Part of them were Egyptians that only spoke Egyptian. They didn't speak Hebrew. So when Adonai was speaking forth, the miracle was they were hearing God's word, his Torah, in their native language. No different than what happened in Acts when these Galileans simply spoke out in Hebrew and it was being translated to the hearers from all, who were all Jews from all these parts of these nations of the diaspora. The hearing was a miraculous thing. Now let's move forward quickly. Both were accompanied by fire. The fire at Sinai was a fire visible by all. And the fire at Jerusalem divided itself and rested upon each one individually. Thus, at Sinai, the Torah was given externally to the people as a whole, from the outside. While at Jerusalem, the Torah was put within each individual. What individuals? Those who received the Ruach. Because it's a Ruach that writes that upon our hearts. It's a Ruach that convicts us of sin. It's a Ruach that empowers us and anoints us. It's a Spirit of the living God. And that's why God can take people who have not received any biblical education, Bible college, and the Ruach is able to apply and teach them the Torah, and they're able to do and build God's kingdom. It's all by the Spirit. It was given by the Spirit, and it's continued by the Spirit. How many times there are congregations that the Spirit of the living God is grieved because he cannot move and do what he desires to do? Moving forward here very, very quickly. At Sinai, a mixed multitude were gathered. They accompanied the people just as the Jewish people from many countries were present at Pentecost. Number seven, Torah means teaching. Doesn't mean just simply law. It's how to behave. It's how to react with your brothers and sisters in Messiah and to react to those who are outside the community. And it's also a way to react to Abba Father God, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh. It's teaching. And the Holy Spirit is what? He's the teacher. Does not the scripture say, I'm sending you my Spirit, Yeshua speaking, and he shall what? He shall lead you into all truth. Are you listening to his voice? Are you being taught? Moving forward very, very quickly. 8, it is customary in the Jewish celebration Shavuot to eat milk foods. And some of us, we got to be careful with that, right? Otherwise we get bound up. The Holy Spirit provides the milk of the word. 1 Kepha, 1 Peter 2:2, Messianic Jews 5:12-13. How do we know that Torah came from Jerusalem as well as Sinai? Several Tanakh prophecies confirm this. The best known is Isaiah, Yeshayahu 2:3. For out Zion shall come forth what? The law, the Torah, and the word of Adonai from where? From Jerusalem. Pentecost fulfilled this prophecy now in a powerful way. Now ending. Because Shavuot commemorates the giving of the Torah, it is sometimes thought as the day which Judaism was born. Likewise, because God gave the Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, to the people on Shavuot. It is sometimes regarded also as a birth of the Messianic community. But one could equally think of Pesach as a birth of a nation. For the Jews who are portrayed as a unified people in Exodus Shemot 12, at the time the first Passover, similarly, it can be also argued that the Messianic community too came into being on Pesach, since it was when Yeshua died and was resurrected that we as a Messianic community have died and been resurrected with him. Where's that from? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hatzameach Shavuot.